ye scurvy dogs.
This is Russell Newberry from the hit show Deadliest Catch, and you're listening to Outdoor Journal Radio on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
You scurvy dog. I haven't heard that one in a long time. Right, you scurvy dog. The cat of nine tails. Right, yes, Stevie. Yeah. Welcome back to the Outdoor Journal Radio Show, live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and online at odjradio.com. I am Pete Bowman from the Fish of Canada Show, sitting in for Angela Viola, who is at home recouping. I'm sure you've heard by now from the previous part of the show. And sitting beside me is Steve Nizwicki, a good buddy of Angelo's and mine, former Show Deer Lodge owner, and new Fish in Canada co-host, and working his way up the ladder here nicely. And
well, thank you.
And Joel Gorskowski is our man behind the glass today, as Steve is in his first aid course. So
yes, he's learning how to save people. Good for you, Stephen.
Good for you, Stephen. I've done that. Have you done that course as a construction worker or when you were a welder?
Back in the day, yes, I have.
Yeah, I've did it a few times, too. I remember.
I'm probably due for a refresher.
Oh, buddy, I think it's probably changed a lot. We used to have Resusci Annie. I'm sure she's still there. Remember that, Resusci Annie?
Yeah.
Learn how to do the compressions and all that kind of stuff. Very good. Everybody really should know how to do this. Like, Stephen's doing this. I don't know if there's a purpose or reason for it. But, I mean, if there isn't, that's great that he's doing this. Because, you know what? You don't know when you might have to use this, from a Heimlich maneuver to compressions to mouth-to-mouth or anything like that. So good for you, Stevie Labadee, and anybody else. Listen, if you think, you know, you just want to learn a little something, brush up the skills, or just get some new skills, it doesn't hurt to do that, that's for sure. We have to quickly go over this week's. We were talking earlier about the Great Ontario Salmon Derby, so we're going to quickly go over some of the stats and what's going on in there. And by the way, Angelo, I know you're listening. Bill Barutz sends all his best to him and his team. Are all wishing you a speedy recovery, so I want to just get that in there too, first and foremost. And then what do we got, Stevie? What happened there this week? Was there anything kind of outstanding or outlandish? I mean, there's always these, the fish are giant out here, right?
They're big. And I know the leader is about 38.2 pounds at this point. So that is that's a monster.
That's a leader for the overall, correct?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, you're talking about a beast of a fish that pulls like no other fish. You know what I mean? Like in fresh water, we talk about our big muskies, you talk about your smallmouth and all that. But if you put a big old Chinook out there at 40 pounds, basically, he's got a giant square tail and he's full of muscle and he's in perfectly open water, which they're getting him out here on Lake Ontario. And that just gives this thing, it's the sum of a lot of fighting going on in there. So at 38.02, it's a giant fish.
Yeah, and that was caught by Austin Lee Van, who, by the way, finished fourth in week two of this derby as well. So he's out there. He's done his homework, and now he's right up there.
Yeah, obviously, he's getting out the lot too, right? So he's an avid, hardcore salmon angler. Knows what he's doing, obviously. I'm not sure if he's fishing by himself. He's got his own rig. I didn't read anything about that. But even if you're with a charter captain, even sometimes that's even better if you just hire a charter and go out a couple of times, because these guys are always on the pulse of fish. And it's a whole game of location of the salmon, right? These guys that are good at this game, like all tournament fishers, like Chonger before, earlier for bass, they know where the salmon are. If it takes them an hour to steam out, it takes them an hour to steam out. They get out there and they fish on the fish. They don't fish where they're not. That's the good thing about this kind of game. So, and then was there one this Cher Dawson? You're the Rapala Angler of the Week with a 32.06 pound Chinook entered at Port Credit. And you have won $1,000 prize back courtesy of Rapala. So congratulations to everybody in the Salmon Derby.
There you go.
When a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, he hears it. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
Of course, that is our favorite wrap-up music of all time, of any outdoor radio, TV, big-time superhero movie. It doesn't matter, because that's our favorite wrap-up music. Of course, that's the Outdoor Canada magazine presenting Gord Pizer of the Dock, the award-winning columnist for Outdoor Canada magazine, which we pride as the best magazine in the country for hunting and fishing, for sure. And last Saturday, apparently, Gord and his grandson Liam competed in a bass tournament, which we were talking about earlier in the day about with Chonger. So let's find out that full story, if he's there. Gordy, are you there, and how did it go?
I'm here, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great, buddy.
Good, Gord.
We're doing
Listen,
great.
I'll tell you about the tournament, but I first have to give a shout-out to Ange. And Ange, yep. if you're listening, and I know you are, I know you got a smile on your face, and you get well, buddy.
Well said, Gordy. Thank you so much for that. And I know Ange will thank you for that. He's getting much love and much affection from everybody. Everybody. I mean, you would not believe the amount of cell phone calls I've got, texts I've got. And I can't imagine his phone. You know what I mean? So.
And again, don't feel bad if you're not hearing back from him, because I know he's under strict orders not to be doing any kind of anything at all, which includes answering the hundreds of emails and texts.
Yeah. We did a post on Fishing Canada Facebook last night, and it just blew up instantly. Like, the comments was ridiculous. Just boom. You wouldn't believe the likes and the comments. It was just, it's overwhelming. And I'm sure Ann's going to see that, and he's just going to say, wow. You know what I mean? So it's great. Thanks, Gordy.
That'll help with the recovery.
Yep, for sure. So, speaking of recovery, did you recover from a bad first day, a good first day? What happened in the tournament?
Oh, Pete, you as a tournament angler, you know this is the case. The whole week, and I made the fatal mistake of saying to Liam, where are the 2.5, 3 pounders? We can't catch anything under 3 pounds. We had an entire week of hot, sunny, calm, and of course on Friday night, you know what happened. We went from t-shirts and shorts to jeans and long sleeves. We wake up the next morning and all we can catch are those 2.5, 2.75 that we couldn't catch all week, and we couldn't find those threes. Now, we did well. I mean, we still caught lots of fish and we had a great time. We missed top 10 by I think it was 28 or 24 ounces, something like that.
Wow.
But you know what happens, guys, and I know you've experienced this. We were getting so many fish that were just bumping the baits. And yep. I'm not saying, you know, we're great, or because I know Pete and Ange and Steve, I know you guys have experienced this as well. But when those fronts come through, they bump it. We lost 6 fish, 4 on Saturday, and I had one on Sunday. It came up out of the water, about one-third of just its head out of the water, and it couldn't jump. It was so damn fat. And then it went down, and it came back up, and my hook came flying. And, you know, it just did not have the hook well in its mouth. And that's what happens when those darn cold fronts come through.
What baits were you throwing predominantly for them to bump these baits, Gord?
I'm sorry, Pete, what was that?
What were you throwing? What kind of lures were you throwing for
you
these fish?
You know, it was windy. We had gone from calm to wind, so we were throwing a lot of jerk baits, finesse jerk mm-hmm. baits, and yep. you know, we were looking for that reaction bite, and I'll tell you, we got it. Mm-hmm. We probably mm-hmm. caught 70% of our fish on reaction style baits, really ripping jerk baits, and then that quick pause, and then you'd feel them crash right into the back of it. And in practice, when we had a little bit of wind, they were eating that hook. I mean, you almost had to put jaw spreaders in. When we landed them, I'll guarantee more than 50% of the fish in the tournament fell off the hook inside the net.
In the net.
Gordy, okay, now let me first paint this picture for the audience. Okay, when Gord's talking about a jerk bait, I'm assuming he's talking about a hard jerk bait, and it's got at least 2 treble hooks, maybe 3, but even if there's just 2 treble hooks on it, these are now modern-day treble hooks that are the sharpest hooks money can buy. They're, if you touch your finger on it, you cannot, and then you cannot pull away from it unless you reverse the hook out. How does a smallmouth bass bump that bait with the hook hanging off the back and up the middle and not get hooked? Tell me that one.
Yeah, and Pete, you know this to be true. You know, when you're walking around the boat and you've got 5, 6, 7 rods laying down, the darn hooks are catching your legs, or catching in the mesh of the boat, catching
everything.
And yet a bass can hit those things and get off. I scratch my head and I wonder how they can do that. But how they fall off inside the net, and the other thing, and this was the telling, we probably caught 3 that were hooked underneath the bottom jaw. And that tells you they're banging on it.
So they're just literally going with a closed mouth and trying to just sort of injure or test or whatever. Is that what you think they're doing?
I think they are, Pete. I think, you know, you guys were talking about salmon, the salmon derby that's underway right now. And I know you fished out in British Columbia, and I love being out in the Queen Charlotte's. And, you know, many, many times when you're fishing out there, you'll feel a bump, especially if you're motor mooching, and you'll feel that bump. And then the real key is quickly strip out 2, 3, 4 pulls of line, let your bait fall, and the fish swings right back and eats it. And when you're fishing a jerkbait for smallmouth, I think they're doing the very same thing. I think they're coming up whacking it, thinking they're going to stun it or whatever, and then they turn around. And I think that's why we were catching so many underneath the jaw.
You know, it boggles my mind to take these ultra sharp hooks and not hook a fish that hits it, that touches it.
But it is a defined bump. Like, I mean,
it's a fish.
For people that haven't experienced this, when you're fishing, you can feel it. And a lot of it goes to the technology with the new lines today, I would assume as well. But you feel that bump. And then just like Gordy was saying, a lot of times, you know, you feel the bump and you set the hook real quick and they don't even have an open mouth, but you catch them right underneath the jaw.
And you know, Steve, that's a real, I was actually thinking as you were talking there, we were using gel spuns, Microdyneema, the super braids. You know what? That may have been a mistake. Given those front conditions and the fact that they were slapping at the baits, you know, a smart move would have gone back to monofilament so that you don't feel it as quickly and as easily as we were. And we were probably overreacting to that first strike. And I bet now, thinking about it, had we had mono on, it would have dulled the sense, it would have softened the blow, and we would have had that extra split second for them to take it better. And when we set, we might have landed more.
Way to go, guys. You just gave away Angelo and my secret that we've been doing for years. Didn't want to tell anybody. Thanks a billion, boys. It's so true. It's so true what they're saying to people that you're listening, that the braided lines versus the mono. So even if Gordon Liam went to a fluorocarbon, there's a little bit of stretch in fluorocarbon. It might have helped a little bit. The mono gives a lot of stretch. There's times like topwater fishing where we literally will go to monofilament, not just because it floats, because of the stretch, because of the reaction time. You're too fast when you set the hook because you see the fish bite. It's crazy. So your line selection is huge in fishing. And every lure that you throw, if you're throwing a soft stick bait, you can throw it with mono, you can throw it with fluorocarbon, and you can throw it with braid. But there are certain instances for each. So you have to really think about that. That's how intricate fishing is nowadays. It's very much in the details, and Gordy and Liam could have, we're not saying they would have, but they could have caught more fish by having that pause, that delay, that stretch in that monofilament line. So it's a great point.
And you know, Pete, I actually did a piece for Outdoor Canada a year or so ago on that, exactly what you just said. I can identify every topwater rod I've got in the boat because they're the ones spooled with monofilament. Even on the good days, I never, ever throw a topwater bait without monofilament. And the funny thing is, so many people now think mono, wow, that's old school. Yeah. Every lure you throw, there is an ideal line type, whether it's fluorocarbon, monofilament, gel spun, or braid. There's actually an ideal line for every lure that we throw. And those are the fine-tuning details that, unfortunately, put you either middle of the pack in the tournament or you win it.
It is so true. And when you get to a point when you fish a lot, okay, because the three of us talking here to the radio audience, we fish a lot. I will admit to that, okay? When you fish a lot, you start to experiment, especially when you're not in a tournament, when you're not shooting a TV show. So when I'm out fishing for fun, I say to myself, okay, I want to learn how to use a spinnerbait. So I take – a couple of different actions of rods, and I find out that a 610 medium heavy is the perfect rod for my spinnerbait fishing. Now, what line do I use on that? So I run a monofilament, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, you refine it down to that. You know, after a couple of outings, you say, wow, that worked best. That's what I like, and you kind of stick to that until something new comes out. But that's how refined fishing is nowadays. So when people see 10 rods in a bass boat, and they're saying, what in the world? I only need one rod. Well, those 10 rods are all set up in perfect little ideas of whatever bait's on there, the line, the actions, the reels, the reel sizes, the ratios. There's all kinds of things that go on in fishing, and it's huge. And most people probably don't care about that, don't want to do that, but us three guys talking here, we want that.
They're golf clubs.
Right.
They're golf clubs. Everyone does a different thing in a different situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you know, the other interesting thing, guys, is, Pete, you know, you've become so good, say, throwing spinner bait or jerk baits or whatever, that you want that. You almost want to dull your senses so that you can actually slow down a bit. But if you were taking out someone for the very first time and they've never thrown a jerk bait before, throwing it on braid is probably good because
You're right.
They would feel it. And they wouldn't react nearly, but you know what you're feeling or trying to sense. And
right.
Sometimes I think we feel it so quickly, we react too soon. So as you evolve as an angler, your line type probably evolves with you.
You know what? That's a great point.
It is.
That is a fantastic point. As usual, Gord Pizer comes out with great points, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, absolutely.
He is the pointer. The pointer person.
The pointer person.
Oh my God, Gordy! Any final words, Gordy?
I'm going lake trout fishing on Sunday. Got a new technique we're working on, and I've got my fingers crossed.
Good luck, buddy, and let us know how you do on that. Okay,
thanks, Gordy.
I will do so, guys. Have a great week.
You too, bud. That was Gord Pizer in our Outdoor Canada magazine segment, the Doc. Again, we'll just wrap her up. I am Pete Bowman, Angelo's co-host in Fishing Canada, and Steve Nizwicki sitting beside me. Joe Gorskowski sitting over there. Thanks, Joe, for sitting in. Derek Brandeo and Jessica Ellis, I believe is the way we pronounce her name. Thanks, Stories of the Fan. Angelo Viola, we are hoping very much that he will be back for you guys next week. I'm not going to guarantee anything. He is on the mend. He's doing well, and he is a very strong man. And he will pull through this, no problem. And we are hoping for him. We love you, buddy. And take care, everybody. Have a good weekend.